Evening, church. About 2 weeks ago, I had this big 20-page paper due. And as part of my assignment, I had to have a pastor evaluate this paper. And so I sent it to Josh, and very impressively, within a few hours, he sent it back with some comments on it and some help for me. But then his email quickly turned into, "Hey, would you mind giving the meditation at the Ash Wednesday service?" And so I figured, yeah, I think I will have to do that since you read my paper. So I told him I would, and I got to work. But here's the problem. I've never been to an Ash Wednesday service before. I grew up and I've lived all my life in Penn Hills. And in Penn Hills, we have St. Joe's, St. Bart's, St. Gerard's, and St. Susanna's, all Roman Catholic churches. And they all have services going on tonight. I've never been to one. I don't know what Ash Wednesday is. I didn't know what Ash Wednesday is. But I knew that all those churches celebrate Ash Wednesday. I know Ash Wednesday is the beginning of Lent. But really, I wasn't quite sure what Lent was except for 40 days before Easter, in a time when people took a second crack at their New Year's resolution. So I spoke to Josh last week and said, what do you want me to do? Do you have a text? Do you have a theme that you want me to preach? And so he gave me a little bit of insight. And as I did my work, I thought exactly what I thought before. I wrestle with Lent. Like Josh explained earlier, Lent was this tradition that in the 4th century, and as Christianity became legal, people would be baptized on Easter. The church just did like mass baptisms on Easter. And so for 40 days, they would take their like baptism candidates and have them study. And they would have them practice spiritual disciplines to show that they were serious about their faith in Jesus. But Len, like many good practices that have a good intention, it became rote. Lent became this thing that just happened to cross off the to-do list. And sadly, today, I see many people's observation of Lent in that same way. It's something just to do. And so while I'm glad to be here preaching, I'm also conflicted. But I hope that you'll recognize why I'm conflicted, and you'll feel it as well as we look at Joel 2 together. See, Lent should be this time of recognition of our own sin and the need for the Savior and the need for his death and the need for his resurrection. It should be this time where we look at our own sin. And so hopefully as we do that, as we look at our own sin and we see the need for a Savior, it'll hopefully cause us to repent, for we serve a faithful God. Joel 2, starting in verse 12. "Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. And rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly, gather the people. Consecrate the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, even the nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, 'Spare your people, O Lord, and make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations.' Why should they say among the peoples, 'Where is their God?'" Let's pray. Holy God, your word is good for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Lord, we pray that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened, that we might know the hope to which you have called us. Amen. So sadly, this text is not the origin of Lent. It is a call to repent for Israel, though. See, there had been three locust plagues that was explained in chapter 1, and Israel was struggling spiritually. The Lord spoke to the prophet, and he said, gather the people, have them repent. And that's what we are doing in Lent. But I hope you saw where Joel says that God is faithful. I hope you saw that in Joel and then in the passage that Josh read earlier from Romans. We know the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness that reigns in our lives through the one man, Jesus Christ. See, he is a faithful God. And he's done everything that he has said he would do. But Joel, who's on the front side of the Christ event, he even sees the faithfulness of God. In verse 13, he says, he's gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. Who knows, he may turn and relent and leave behind a blessing, grain offerings, drink offerings for the Lord. See, Joel knows the promises of Abraham. Joel knows the promises to Moses, and he's seen how God has been faithful already to Israel. God is faithful. In his faithfulness, he provides for us. And so this is a call to repentance that might bring about blessing. It might not bring about blessing. But either way, God is still faithful. So because God is faithful, we should repent. But before we repent, we should recognize that true repentance is of the heart. Joel 2:13, rend your hearts, not your garments. It's a theme all throughout the scripture. We even read it, we prayed it in Psalm 51. I will not delight in sacrifice, or I'd give it to you. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and broken, contrite heart. It's all throughout scripture. Jesus, as he's castigating the Pharisees, woe to you, you scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but the inside, they're still full of greed and self-indulgence. You're like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear to be beautiful, but inside, you're full of dead people's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to others, but within, you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. See, our outside is not the measure of our faith. One of my favorite TV shows, Arrested Development. Maybe is a 16-year-old girl. And she's walking past the room where her uncle and cousin are talking, and they're talking about going to church camp, something called Promise Camp. And as she's walking past, she realizes, wait, maybe if I go to that, I'll be able to miss a couple days of school. And so she walks into the room, and she looks at them and says, do you guys know where I can get one of those gold necklaces with a T on it? The uncle looks at her and says, that's a cross. And she says, a cross from where? See, we can be like maybe. We can be that 16-year-old girl putting on a show, wearing crosses. And a cross can be a great thing. It can remind yourself of your faith. It can even maybe make other people recognize that you are a Christian. But it is not the way to make ourselves look good as Christians. Dressing up all nice on Sunday morning and coming to church is not the mark of your faith. Rend your hearts, not your garments. Sometimes we even go to the opposite extreme. Instead of making ourselves look good, we will make ourselves look, you know, kind of ragged. We'll proclaim our holiness by putting on a display of our shame. And this is where I'm conflicted tonight. We're about to put ashes on our foreheads to remind ourselves of the depths of our sin, to remind ourselves that we came from dust and we're going to return to dust before the resurrection. Sometimes we show our penitence and we show our sorrow and our repentance on the outside through superficial actions. We make ourselves appear like we're actually sorry. If you have kids, you know exactly what I'm saying. You see your kids, they say, I'm sorry, but you know they're not. That mark on your forehead will not mean anything unless you are truly penitent in your heart. Rend your hearts, not your garments. But why are we here then? If it doesn't mean anything, why do we do it? What's the point of Ash Wednesday and marking yourself with this ash? Well, you might have read chapter 1 in Joel and seen where God tells priests to put on sackcloths and have a fast. But if we're gonna wear these ashes, why would we do that if it doesn't appease God? It's the same reason he gave the sacrificial system in the Old Testament for the temple. See, the sackcloths are more of a reminder. It's a reminder for the wearer. It's an uncomfortable garment that's itchy. So every time that person feels that sackcloth, they remember, something's not right. Why do we fast? The fast is not just to show how sickly we can become because we haven't eaten. The fast is so that every time our stomach grumbles, we recognize that we are in need. It reminds us that we are sinners and we need to repent. God gave the sacrifices in Leviticus as a foreshadowing of what was to come in Jesus. They were a way for his people to draw nearer to him. The sacrifices were not for God. They were for his people. He didn't need bulls and goats. He made them. These sacrifices were for people to remember the one who had given them what they have. But then, just like many good practices, the sacrifices became rote. It became a moral duty, something to appease God instead of worshiping him. So as we prepare tonight together, Ash Wednesday, and as we prepare through Lent and we repent and recognize our sin, as we prepare for the Holy Week that is coming, the triumphal and humble entry to Jerusalem, Maundy Thursday, the institution of the new covenant, Good Friday, the death of the perfect spotless lamb, Easter, the resurrection, which promises life to those who believe. Let's acknowledge our sin. Confess our sin to the Lord. And not just confess, but repent, which means to turn away from our sin. He is a faithful God. As we come together from the nursing baby to those who are near death, let us come together humbly, contritely, acknowledging our sin, recognizing there is a need for the Savior. This Good Friday and Easter is not for naught. There is a need for that. And it's because without it, you are dead. Together, let's rend our hearts, not our garments. God does not look at the outward appearance, and therefore he's not impressed with the ashes. Take this time, repent, recognize your need for him, because he knows the depths of our heart. True repentance is not an outside thing, it's of the heart. Repent, for we serve a faithful God. Let's pray. God, we love you, and we've already prayed confession to you. But Lord, as we continue throughout Lent, looking forward to the resurrection in which we all get to take part in because of your grace, Lord, we pray that we not jump to that too quickly, but recognize the depth of our sin, our need for you, and our inability to do any good on our own. Lord, use us, use this time. so that we may love you more. Amen.